Happy New Year to all, and welcome to the first Musings on Golf episode for 2024. I'm Kelly Elbin, along with my great friend and co-host Bob Bupka. Bob, we moved Musings back a day to start the year, but for good reason, as our guest today is Kevin Kisner, with whom we just spoke and who debuts this weekend alongside Dan Hicks on NBC Sports coverage of the Century in beautiful Kapalua. We'll hear from Kiz in just a minute, but Happy New Year to you. How you doing?
A little under the weather right now, but really excited about taking Musings on Golf into 2024. Boy, those numbers are getting big. But hanging in there, and Janice and I had a nice trip over the holidays to see her side of the family, see her son, Brad, who lives up in Portland, and his three daughters. And, you know, Janice doesn't get to see him that often, but spent some quality time with them out in Denver. My son just recently moved to Denver, so I got to see him and his wife, Kim, and my two grandchildren, Truman and Renly. So overall, it certainly was a fantastic holiday season. We're just hoping that Musings on Golf is going to be bigger and better in 2024.
Well, and as you soldier on throughout this, we really are off to a nice timely start with having Kevin Kisner on. You've known Kevin for a while. You've known Dwayne Bach very well, who caddied for Kevin for, 15 years or so, and who's now caddying for Sepp Straka. You're a big fan of Kevin Kisner, and I think our listeners are going to hear that coming out through this interview.
Well, I actually grew up with Dwayne Bach out on the east end of Long Island. He's from the same area that I am, had many a battle with his father, Dave Bach, who was a fierce competitor. And if I had a 1-inch putt to win on the last hole, he would tell me, just knock it in. Don't be looking over here for any gimmies.
Finish it up, right?
Finish it up. That's the way. Kevin was great.
Yeah, he really was. Hey, let's be honest here. It's nice to just talk golf a little bit. The PGA Tour season starting. You and Janice know Kapalua very well on the island of Maui, where the Century's being held. You spent a lot of time there. What an incredible location. What an awesome way to start the PGA Tour season.
Well, we've covered it for, I think, about 22 years. And the one thing that still sticks in my mind, when you stand behind the first tee at the Plantation Golf Course, first hole is downhill. You're looking down. You see the green. Then comes the ocean. Then you see the whales jumping. And I say to myself, wait a minute. This is not real. So I'll walk away. I think I'm hallucinating. I come back, and they're still there. I mean, it is absolutely incredible. And I want to send some well wishes out to the people of Lahaina. That's where that horrific fire was last year, and they're battling back. Lahaina was one of the little towns that I truly loved and became a big part of me. I did a lot of work with Danielle Tucker. She has a golf radio show in Hawaii, and been a guest for many, many times. I'll tell you one thing. When Mercedes-Benz was the sponsor, golly, the formal meal that they put on for us, they rented out the most expensive restaurant on the island, and lobster, you want steak, you want this, you want that. You know, it's the way to sum up Maui. For nobody that's been there, it's magical, Kelly. It's absolutely magical. And if you love the sport of golf, and then to play the Plantation Course with all these vistas and views, I mean, certainly it's one golf course that you could play not having your clubs. Just take that walk, and it'll be a thrill of a lifetime.
Oh, that's just fantastic stuff. Before we get to Kevin Kisner, I do have to acknowledge the Golf Writers Association of America, of which you've been a longtime member, has voted John Rahm as its 2023 PGA Tour Player of the Year. So, Bob, while the PGA Tour season starts, the fact is that LIV Golf currently has two of the four reigning major champions and the 2023 Player of the Year need to get something done to get this fracture healed up, Bob. It's not sustainable, Bob. We got to get this worked out. I don't have any inside scoop, nor do you. Boy, golf needs to get this mended and get it done quickly.
The only thing I know of, absolutely certain, 100%, that we got to get more communication. We got to be able to find out what's going on. What are we working on? What are we trying to achieve? If you're keeping the goal hidden, that's not a good formula for getting there. And I think everybody that loves golf would agree and say, just let's do it. Whatever it is, you're going to live with it. So do it to the best of your ability, and let's move on.
And Kevin Kisner referenced that communication or lack thereof from PGA Tour. You're going to hear his thoughts on that and a whole lot more from Kevin Kisner right after this. William & Harry has launched a line of stylish waterproof golf shoes, and they are incredibly comfortable. The WH golf shoe is made of deerskin and suede. It has a gel insert, a form-fitting inner lining, and the reinforced hardened soft spikes on the outside of each shoe provide maximum performance. It's time to elevate your game. It's time to go to WilliamAndHarry.com.
When you make the best performing golf balls in the world, your biggest competition is yourself. And now the golf ball that sets the standard for every other has raised the bar again. New Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X are longer and more consistent with unrivaled control. Outperform with new Pro V1 and Pro V1X. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Welcome back to Musings on Golf. Bob, our first guest of 2024, will experience his own personal first this weekend as he takes the analyst role next to Dan Hicks on NBC Sports Golf coverage of the Century, the first event of the year on the PGA Tour. Kevin Kisner, congratulations. Thanks for the time and welcome to Musings on Golf.
I appreciate you guys having me, Kelly. Bob, thanks for having me on. And you're right. Here I go, first opportunity in the booth, and hopefully it turns out as well as I plan on it to be.
You know, it's pretty amazing, first opportunity in the booth, but also on the island of Maui. I mean, at the Century. I mean, you know how to do it there, kids.
Well, I got lucky. You know, Tommy asked me if I would help him out a couple weeks this year, and I said, well, I'm still planning to play. And he said, well, let's look at your schedule and where it fits in. And I said, I bet I can make Maui fit in. That's a pretty good spot to start.
That sounds like you, Kev. Tommy Roy, I just want to mention, in case I forget later, you're in good hands. I mean, Tommy Roy is so far above anybody else producing golf, it's not even funny. So anything he suggests or whatever, my recommendation, just listen to the Roy and you'll be in good shape.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to working with Tommy. I've gotten Tommy really well over the last few years. He's always mentioned to me, you know, one day when you quit, I want to talk to you about coming on the other side. And I said, well, I don't plan on quitting anytime soon. And then this opportunity came up, and he came up to me in Sea Island and asked if I had any interest in helping him. They were going to have a few guys fill in for a few weeks at a time. And so I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to him for the opportunity. He believes in me, and hopefully I won't let him down.
You know, Kevin, having been around for 400 years in this business, my advice would be Kevin Kisner doesn't want to be Johnny Miller. Kevin Kisner doesn't want to be Paul Azinger. Kevin Kisner has to be Kevin Kisner.
That's right. I've kind of told myself, I don't, you know, who did you like in the commentating business? Who did you listen to? Who did you respect? And I got respect for everyone, but you know, I'm not going to try to do it like someone else did. I want to do it like I do it. And I don't know what that means yet, 'cause I've never done it, but I'll find out this weekend. And I want to be as insightful as possible to the viewers. And I want to be, hopefully explaining to them why guys are making certain decisions, why guys are making certain swings, and explain to the viewers the game in the new fashion. I think the game's generationally changed over the last 5 to 10 years, and I think my perspective's going to help on that end.
For you to handle is because these are your peers that you're now commentating on. You know, there are times when realistically you're going to have to be critical. I mean, if somebody hits a very poor shot, it's your obligation to the listeners to inform the listeners that that was a poor shot.
You know, I don't want to be like, this guy choked or this guy hit an awful shot. I like the idea of explaining why the poor shot happened, or maybe what was going through their head, because I've been in that situation before, and why it's a difficult shot, and why he reacted in the way he did to make the outcome be a poor shot.
I think that's the right philosophy. It's a delicate recipe of critical and authentic. But if anybody can do it, I know you can. You've been a straight shooter. You've been regarded amongst players, you know, and certainly amongst caddies also as one of the real straight shooters out there. So I got a lot of confidence in you.
Yeah, hopefully so. I ran into Paul Tesori this morning on driving range. He said, "You know why guys like you, kid, is?" And I said, "What's that, Paul?" He said, "Because they always know where they stand with you. You always keep it real with everyone all the time." And that's the way I want to be as an analyst, too.
Hey, we're delighted to be joined by Kevin Kisner, who makes his debut this weekend on NBC Sports golf coverage of the century. Hey, Kevin, you mentioned that Tommy Roy approached you about doing some work this year. Had being on the broadcasting side, had that been something that had intrigued you? Is that something that you had perhaps looked to pursue, even if Tommy hadn't come up to you?
To be honest, no, Kelly. Tommy's mentioned it a few times to me that he thought that it would be a place that I could land when I decided to quit playing. But you know, you never think you're going to ever quit playing, and not that I'm quitting now, but there will be a time and a place where I like continuing the game of golf if I'm not playing, and this opportunity couldn't be one, or it could not be. We'll find out this week. I never really dreamed of being on TDD. I never dreamed of being an analyst or being in the broadcast. And if, to be fair, if I thought I was going to do anything, it'd probably be an on-course walking guy, you know, describing the action on the course, probably not sitting in the booth. But I always thought my redneck slang probably wouldn't translate well to the booth. But, you know, Tommy thinks it will, and hopefully it's endearing to the viewers.
So what you're doing this week and then in Arizona, is this a tryout? How is it being defined to you of what these 2 weeks are? Obviously, they're spaced about a month apart.
Well, he asked me if I could give him a few weeks, and looking at my playing schedule, it's just not feasible. From what I understand, they're trying out many guys throughout the year. They don't want to commit to anyone until they feel like they found the right guy. And I told him from the get-go, I'm not interested in quitting playing to do it full-time yet. But I also hope I'll be any good, so I don't want to commit to you on a 3 or 5 year deal, and then I feel like I'm bad, and you feel like I'm bad when we get going. So he said, "That's perfect, you know," and he's like, "Well, just give me a few weeks. Send me the schedule that you feel like you can do." And obviously Maui popped up. It would be easy because I knew I was coming over here anyway. In Phoenix, I wasn't planning on playing. And obviously I feel like I can get away with a little more over there in Phoenix. So maybe that one works well for me too.
So as far as your regular schedule, do you get started next week at Sony?
I do. Yes, sir. I'm going straight from there to here. Everyone over here in Maui has been great. You know, I'm getting my work in early in the mornings on the golf side and then heading over to the course through the broadcast side.
Well, when you get a chance, if you run into Ben Hongo, teaching pro out there, tell him we said hello.
I will, for sure.
Yeah, one of the real good guys in the business, Kev. And I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up, because I want our listeners to get just a little insight into the quality of the gentleman that is our guest on Musings on Golf, Kevin Kisner. Not too long ago, won a tournament, and the following day or day after, his caddy looked out in the driveway, and it was a strange object in the driveway. Oh, well, it happened to be a brand-new truck. So the caddy was Dwayne Bach, and Dwayne went out there, and there was a little note in there from Kevin saying, "Good job, Dwayne. If more players treated their caddies like that, this would be a great world."
Well, obviously, Dwayne's a dear friend and one of my biggest supporters of my career. Worked for me for 14 years, and obviously he's gone on to work for Sepp Straika, who's a great friend of mine as well, and wish him the best. But that year, I remember, Bob, that you're talking about, I told Dwayne somewhere, I said, when we win again, I'm getting you a new truck, because he's never had a nice car as long as I've known him. He's always been so fiscally cheap that he would never spend any money on his car. And so so when I won that tournament, you know, I don't even think he remembered, but then, you know, when that truck showed up, he's like, what is going on? I said, I told you, whenever I won again, you're getting a new truck, man. And so he's still driving that truck, Bob.
Oh, he should drive it forever. You know, it's not the truck. It's the intentions that got that truck to that driveway that mean the world to Dwayne. And so how much practice are you putting in? Are you practicing at all on broadcasting or just practicing on playing right now?
I've done zero practice on broadcasting. I had a 25-minute call with Tommy. He kind of gave me the ins and outs on what to say and not to say, and what he his advice on best ways to be successful in the seat. But I'm going to go over here shortly and do my preparation for the course and hang out with some of the guys and see if I can't get some insight from some of the players. And then I'm going to sit in the booth tomorrow and Friday and just listen to the flow. That's the part that I'm most anxious to see, is how it all flows. When am I supposed to talk? I don't want to talk over people. I don't want to, you know, feel like I'm jumping in when I shouldn't jump in. So I want to get into the flow of it and feel like I'm a good team player with everyone else involved.
Kevin, it's kind of an interesting approach that NBC Sports has taken on this. I mean, you know, you had Paul McGinley, a former European Ryder Cup captain, and Curt Byram were in the booth at the end of last season, during the silly season events. But not committing to somebody is not the norm for you know, broadcast like this, is it?
No, it's definitely not. But I, to be honest, why wouldn't you do it this way and see which one you want to commit to long term? Because you don't want to get caught in a situation where you feel like you got to fire someone down the road because it's not going as well as you want it to. I think it's a great idea. I don't even know who all they have slated to work in the upcoming weeks, but I think they're going about it just right, and I think it's kind of cool from the audience perspective. They get a different perspective a lot of weeks, and who knows, man. Change sometimes is really good, and changing up the old rhetoric and the old model might be something that really jumps off.
You mentioned about Dwayne Bach and Sepp Straika, who I'm here in South Florida. He won at Honda last year and obviously went on and represented Europe on the Ryder Cup team. Had a tremendous season. But you made the decision to kind of step back a bit last year, and which opened that opportunity for Dwayne to get together with Sepp. Why? Why did you do that? What was there something fundamentally missing in your game? What was the thinking?
The reason I stepped back is I was playing horribly. I was It wasn't fun to play. I didn't want to leave my family. I didn't want to be in a hotel room by myself knowing I was about to miss another cut. And at some point, I just called home and said, I'm coming home. This is ridiculous. I'm wasting time, money. I'm not into it mentally. I'm not playing well physically. I mean, I'm just coming home until I figure it out. And it was a really, really awesome time. I got to spend the whole month of July with my family in the mountains and my kids. I was home for, 30 days at a time, which never happens. And that was a lot of fun. And, you know, Dwayne called me and said, hey, Sepp, reached out about doing the John Deere. And I was like, dude, you should go for it. And they won. And then he went to the British Open with them and finished second. And I just remember sending Dwayne a long note and saying, I love you to death. I think you're one of the greatest guys ever. We're both winding down on our careers. And I think you're crazy if you don't go work for this guy and make a ton of money over the next few years. And I think he respected the heck out of me for doing that. It sure made his decision a lot easier.
Can honestly say anybody that I know that's ever had any contact whatsoever with Kevin Kisner certainly has the respect for Kevin, because that's just the way he is. You decided to live your life the way you're doing it. Kevin, before we wrap up here, do you have a favorite charity that we could help out with a mention?
The Kevin and Brittany Kisner Foundation is what we put all our time and effort into in the charitable aspect. And we have three great programs still running, and everybody can check it out on KisnerFoundation.com. Just gave away $500,000 to a local charity in Aiken, South Carolina, for a playground called Children's Place. And we We have an endowment at the Children's Hospital in Augusta, Georgia for $5.3 million. So we've been actively fundraising for years and been very successful, and we love impacting children's lives.
Oh, it's fantastic. Hey, Kevin, a couple final questions for me. We had Adam Long, who's a peer of yours on the PGA Tour, on a month or so ago, and he talked just in terms of you know, what it's been like the last few years, obviously going through COVID as a member of the tour, and then with the whole situation with LIV. From your standpoint, where do you see things right now with a potential agreement with LIV and the tour, with a third party? What are your thoughts? What are your hopes in terms of what gets done, if it gets done at all?
Yeah, I don't know about the LIV tour negotiations, how well that's going. Obviously, we just haven't got enough communication to know if it's even becoming successful. All I've heard is they're not really meeting that often, so it seems like you can't get a deal done if you're not meeting. I think it's difficult to say you're going to have a framework agreement with one group and then sign a deal with another group in the middle of that negotiation. It wouldn't stir me crazy. I mean, it wouldn't help me in the right direction to negotiate faithfully if that's the way we were doing it. I think the players want to play the best players together more often. And I think the product is the best when that happens. I think the viewers want to see the best players play together more often. And I think all the ratings will be better if best players play together more often. And obviously we don't have that. We have a fractured game right now with some of the best players playing on two different tours. So in the future, I think the product model that the PGA Tour has out now is the way of the future to bring the best players together. We just have to come to an agreement to get those players back on playing with us.
Final question for me. You do have a lot of really good players playing this week at the Century. Based on your experience playing that golf course, anybody in particular that you see as a favorite going in?
I've got a few nuggets there that I'm going to save for the broadcast, but good. You know, you can never just shy away from the number one player in the world, right? Scottie Scheffler is incredible at almost every week. He's the amount of money he made last year from being so consistent, I think it's so hard to shy away from looking at him. I know a lot of people will say that's kind of the easy pick, but my God, when he finishes top 10 so many times, you got to pick a guy that can be there that often. I love a guy like Xander Schauffele. Hits it long, hits it straight, comes prepared. Probably spent the offseason really working hard, and hopefully, you know, we'll have a shootout. From what the weather shows on Sunday, it's not going to be super windy, so I think you'll see some guys shoot something really low from a few shots back early on, and the leaders will have to come in making birdies to win the tournament.
Well, I can safely say probably your most difficult job come Sunday is to keep your eye on the golf course and the golfers, because that ocean and the whales jumping make it very attractive to stray your vision in the wrong direction. Kevin Kisner, you've been a great guy, and I'm proud to call you a friend. And Kelly, I told you he was going to be good. He's been better than good.
No question about it. Hey, Kis, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck this weekend on NBC Sports. Sitting next to Dan Hicks, we wish you the very, very best.
I appreciate it, guys, and thanks for having me on. Happy New Year, and best of luck with the podcast.
Just like you, I want to look good and perform at my best on the golf course. And that's exactly why I wear the new WH golf shoes from William & Harry. I love these golf shoes. They're made of deerskin and suede with a soft gel insert. And the reinforced hardened soft spikes increase stability and balance. And they are so incredibly comfortable. I invite you to head on over to williamandharry.com to check out the new WH golf shoe. Look your best and play your best with William & Harry. Man, you called him a straight shooter. He sure is. I'm so impressed with Kevin, and I think he's going to really do well, Bob. I think the fact that you know, he's not a major champion, right? You've had these major champions in the booth. The fact maybe that he hasn't even had any trials with Dan Hicks, let's just see what happens. I think Kevin can more than handle his own based on what I'm hearing from him.
Yeah, and, you know, I know Dan Hicks very well. You do also, Kelly. And I think their personalities with Dan and Kevin, I think they're going to get along very well. And the one thing that Dan Hicks has, an amazing ability to bring out the best in whoever he's working with. So Kevin Kisner will step into that booth with Dan Hicks, but when he steps out, he'll definitely be a better broadcaster.
Yeah, I love it. We thank Kevin Kisner very much. Wish him well this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, as NBC Sports covers the Century. Bob, you and I had a terrific interview, what seems a while back now, with Gary McCord, actually about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and that will be our guest next week. Gary McCord is the one and only, isn't he?
You don't want to miss this one. Gary calls it like he sees it, and a lot of good entertainment in there on Musings on Golf.
Gary McCord next week. Folks, thanks for hearing us out. Welcome to 2024. Happy New Year. Kelly Elbin signing off for Bob Bupka on Musings on Golf.